Good morning. I will be reading from Daniel chapter 4. King Nebuchadnezzar sent his message to the people of every race and nation and language throughout the world. Peace and prosperity to you. I want you all to know about the miraculous signs and wonders the Most High God has performed for me. Daniel told him, King Nebuchadnezzar, please accept my advice. Stop sinning and do what is right. Break from your wicked past and be merciful to the poor. Perhaps then you will continue to prosper. But all these things did happen to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months after he was taking a walk on the flat roof of the royal palace of Babylon, as he looked out across the city, he said, Look at this great city of Babylon, my own mighty power. I have built this beautiful city as my royal residence to display my majestic splendor. That same hour, the judgment was fulfilled, and Nebuchadnezzar was driven from human society. He ate grass like a cow, and he was drenched with the dew of heaven. He lived this way until his hair was long as eagle's feathers, and his nails were like bird claws. After this time had passed, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up to heaven. My sanctity returned, and I praised and worshiped the Most High, honored One, who lives forever. His rule is everlasting, and His kingdom is eternal. All the people of earth are nothing compared to Him. He does as He pleases among the angels of heaven and among the people of the earth. No one can stop Him or say to Him, What do you mean by doing these things?
Thank you.
Thanks.
I believe that what really tests us in life is failure, but also our successes. I love what Rick Warren says about compliments and criticism. They are like chewing gum. You should chew on them for a little while and then spit them out. Now, I think we have a little bit more trouble spitting out the compliment than we do the criticism. We want to get that out right away. Wow, the wisdom of Proverbs. A hot furnace tests silver and gold, but what really tests a person is their failure? No, what does it say? Praise they receive. Wow. Isn't that true? Haven't you found that to be true in your life? Well, we're all a little bit like Nebuchadnezzar around here, and I'll make the connection here in a minute. No, you're not kings. Yes, ladies, you are the queens. We do have that part right. But think just for a moment about your life and think about our community. Think about the kingdom of Squim. Most come by way Squim, having been very successful. We're highly educated. We're highly successful people. And we come to Squim, and well, maybe you haven't done this, but I've noticed a few other people have kind of made this into their kingdom. Their home is their palace. When we're successful, there are some tests that we face, and I want you to pass them. I don't want you to fail them like Nebuchadnezzar. Now, here's where you volunteer now in your mind, heart, and soul. Number one, what test did Nebuchadnezzar fail? He failed because he had created much, and now he had grown what? Ooh, comfortable, and along with that, complacent. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was living in my palace in what? Comfort and prosperity. Ooh. Ouch. Don't we retire and move to Squim to be comfortable? To enjoy our success and our prosperity? Sure we do. The key is whether we become complacent. Push it just a little bit further. Do we become lukewarm about our faith in our comfort? And does that make us really complacent, thinking that really all the really great things in life are behind me? There are no signs and wonder for me. I'm too old up ahead. How untrue. How untrue. Number one, in his success, Nebuchadnezzar got too comfortable, too complacent. Number two, you will notice that he was a guy of great pride. He looked out over his balcony, looked at his palace. Look at this grand city of Babylon. By my own mighty power, I have built this beautiful city as my royal residence to display my majesty and splendor. Wow. Maybe we come, maybe we build our dream home, we get that property that we've always wanted, we fix it all up, and we're very proud of that. Very proud of that. We're very proud of a lot of things, aren't we? We're proud of what we've done, we're proud of all of our titles, we're proud of our bottom line. We're proud of our reputation. We're proud of. What's the difference between pride and being humble? It's a big challenge here. Pride is really taking credit for what others have done for you or what God has done through you. Seriously, just don't take yourself too seriously. See, a prideful person takes themselves too seriously, and they forget all the things that others have done for them and the doors that God has opened for them. That really all that we have is because God has what? Blessed us. Rick and I talked about this in the plane on the way home yesterday. We should never do away with the offering in this community. You know why? We always need to be reminded that everything we have, God has given to us. He gave us the talents. He gave us the smarts. I don't know about you, but he opened doors for me that I had no ability to open. And as I made my way through them, I went, wow, only by the hair of my chinny chin chin. Man, I slid through those doors as fast as I could. Now, I'm like you. I worked hard to deserve that, to earn that, to remain there. But I didn't open those doors. Somebody else opened them for me, or God in his signs and wonders just opened it. Moved me someplace I had no idea what I was doing exactly or where I was going. Pride is acknowledging that God does stuff in us and through us, and other people do help us. When we take credit for that, if we arrive without a little humility about that, without a little bit of honor to those other people, then we're missing the boat. We're missing a fantastic opportunity. We'll get to that. That's the last point. Humility is simply, as Paul put it, have a sober estimate of yourself. I keep running into people a lot lately. Don't think so lowly of yourself. You're way better than that. Stop comparing yourself to everybody else. You're unique. Yes, we're all unique snowflakes that have fallen from the heavenly skies. Everybody has strengths and weaknesses. Everybody has things that they're good at and some other things they're not too good at. You go to Dave Neidhart's class, you'll learn that you have a spiritual gift. That makes you special in the kingdom of God. And yes, it's a good thing to leverage that in what you do. Why? Because that's when God does what only God can do. God always does what only God can do when you exercise your spiritual gift. Because things go on that don't make human sense. Doesn't add up in a linear fashion. There's always that Holy Spirit variable in the equation of life. And let's not forget that. Let's remember that. Let's celebrate that. A humble person is the one that arises and say, man, God's been good. Yes, others have helped me. No, it took a lot of work and not everything was easy. But see, Nebuchadnezzar, well, he thought he did it all. He thought he was the greatest. Not God. Now you notice that Daniel challenges him in his pride. Daniel says to Nebuchadnezzar, please accept my advice. Stop sinning and do what is right. Now that's repentance. And guess what? You don't just repent one time. You do ultimately. You know, you notice in the Bible there's big S's and little S's when it comes to sin. The big S is, yeah, you only repent eternally one time and you're good to go. But it's those little S's. Ooh. Yeah. I keep doing these other things and we have to stop sinning and repent from them. Turn the other way. That's what repentance means. It means doing an about face. I was headed over there in a sinful direction. Mind, emotion, behavior. Mind, emotion, behavior. We were headed in a sinful direction. Now we need to turn around and go in the other direction. The great thing about turning around and going the other direction is over time, we really like that. That feels normal and good. That feels just what God, just like the presence of God is all around me. And when you're sinning, you're running like hell. We do have to stop. That's what I love about worship, about our worship. Nathan does a great job of literally bringing us to the altar, speaking to our mind, our heart, and our soul. And we can adjust our pride. We can put a handle on our sins, and we can be called to repent and turn around. It's interesting that Nebuchadnezzar doesn't do that. One more challenge. Break free from your wicked past and be merciful to the poor. See, that's the other side of it. Where's all the money in the land been going? That's right, Nebuchadnezzar's palace. Nebuchadnezzar's palace. All the money's for me and mine. And Daniel knows that there's a lot of poor people that need to be addressed. And isn't it interesting, humble people usually address the poor. Humble people address the poor when it's inconvenient, costly. It's a test. Our success is a test. It's a test on whether we're going to just be comfortable. It's a test of whether we're going to come pridefully or we're going to come humbly into the present and the future. And to do that, we might need to cut loose of some sinning we've been doing and do a little repentance. Pray, Lord, help me to see the poor around me. And let me tell you, poor around here isn't about money necessarily. There are a lot of rich, morally bankrupt people that live in squim. People searching around for what true spirituality is, and they have no tour guides. They have no tour guides. They're left to the person on the stool at the bar. Maybe they know a little bit of truth. The fourth test, we just alluded to it, he wasn't doing what was right. Notice, 12 months later. Have you ever noticed how you like to put God off? You know, we don't say no to God, but we kind of say to God, well, you know, I'll get around to that. You know, the Holy Spirit comes and he kind of taps us on the shoulder and we say, oh, okay, I'm a little busy over here. I'll get back to you. And have you noticed you really haven't gotten back to him? You really didn't listen in the beginning. And because of that, there's something we should do that is right that we are not doing. Something right we could do, we can accomplish it. It's within our sphere of influence. But we're comfortable on the couch. We're a little complacent as we make our way through our weekly schedule. And so we have the opportunity to do right, but we're not right in terms of the kingdom of God, and therefore we can't do what is right. It holds us back. Now, I'll mention just a couple of other little things. First of all, you notice that Nebuchadnezzar does not heed the warning. Not heed the warning. What happens when the check engine light goes on in your car? What happens if you refuse to deal with that? What did Penny teach us on the Big Bang Theory? Eventually, if you don't deal with the check engine light, your car's gonna stop. Ooh, your life's gonna have a breakdown. So we should heed the warning, respond to the invitation, realize that God is up to something good in us and in the world around us, and not say I'll get back to you later, but listen to what God says today in this moment. There was trouble in Babylonian paradise. Nebuchadnezzar failed all of these tests. So, how do we make sure that we stay centered in the midst of success? And that's a challenge in this day. When life's going awful, we're always seeking God and searching around for God's presence and God's power. The test of the hot furnace is whether we really believe our press release or whether we're really listening and centering ourselves on God's agenda. God's agenda. What do we learn about centering? Number one, it's where you're looking. Nebuchadnezzar looked to God. After this time had passed, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up to heaven. Now, you know what happened? Daniel had the dream and interpreted it. Nebuchadnezzar really didn't heed what Daniel said, and now what he feared, what Nebuchadnezzar feared, was happening. He was going insane. They threw him out in the countryside. Hair got long, his fingernails got long. He wandered around like a crazy person, like a lunatic. And then all of a sudden, it made sense. What Daniel said is really true. I am not the God of this universe. God is. I may think I'm a god or a goddess, but only He is the God of the universe. He looked up to heaven. He looked to God. Where are we looking today? Where are you looking today? You learn a lot about a person. What are you looking at and what are you looking for in life? Are you really looking just to be comfortable and safe? And talked to somebody from California the other day. I said, the tough things about living here are no gangs, no crime, no traffic, no pollution, but you have to be able to live an hour away from a major mall. Is that hard to do? What are we looking for? To whom are we looking? Is it really all about us? Do we really think we have all the answers? Do we really think that our bank account is really going to be the thing that's going to get us through? Oh yeah, throw the gym in there. Nebuchadnezzar had everything, lost everything. Why? His pride. His complacency. Now he's looking at God and it's all changing. It's all changing. He looks to heaven and what happens? He sees the greatness of God and he worships Him. My sanity returned. Please let your sanity return. Man, I ran into somebody the other day. I knew I was going to preach on this, and I just went, that dude is insane. That dude is so wrapped up on himself. He is not sane. He is not looking at the world. But his own little world, he's got it all wrapped up. Remember, smallest package in the world is a person who's all wrapped up with themselves. Yeah. You know, if it's all about you, you're always right. Have you noticed that? You're always right. You're always the prevailing perspective on everything in life. Why? It's all about you. My sanity returned, and I praised and worshiped the Most High, and I honored the one who lives forever. Honor. You know, honor is more than just doing everything right. It's about a right attitude. It's about really, as we celebrate, are we celebrating in part because, oh, God's been good. God's got us through. As Andrew Brunson said, I didn't feel love for God, but I grabbed a hold of the fact that I know God loves me. And eventually, my fear went away. Not completely. My feelings of wanting to commit suicide faded. And just when it seemed like there was a little hope, that was dashed. And there I was again, in the heat, in despair. No place to turn. But I held on to the fact that even though I didn't feel a lot of love for God, I knew in my mind that God loved me. And it was the love of God that finally saved me. Are we worshiping God? Verses 34 and 35. What does he realize? What does Nebuchadnezzar realize? Number one, the person with the kingdom that lasts forever, eternal, is God's, not his kingdom. In fact, we know his kingdom doesn't last very long. In fact, Rick shared a little history with me. There may have very well been a substitute king while he was out being insane. Probably a son. Well, okay, I'll take over. Why? Yeah, my dad, he's out to pasture. Literally. The dude's insane. Hey, I'll take care of everything. Have it all come my way. It's a real possibility. He knows whose kingdom lasts forever. It's not our kingdom. It's God's kingdom. And when we acknowledge that and we become a part of his family, then we live with him forever. Number two, he realizes that the most important opinion is God's opinion. What's most important is God's opinion. Now, I hope you have a good opinion of yourself, and I hope other people have a good opinion of you, but ultimately, the opinion that is most important is God's opinion. Said it the other day, it doesn't really matter what I think, what does God think? Now, I have an opinion. But what's most important is what does God say about you or about life, about afterlife. The third thing is he realized that God's authority is absolute. He does as he pleases, referring to God. No one can stop him. Man, that's a great prayer to hang on to in these days. Nothing in this world can stop him. We get stopped all the time. Nothing stops him. Nothing, 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 nothing. That gives us a great hope in a future, doesn't it? Last thing. Now we're going back to the beginning of the scripture reading. When we wake up and smell the coffee as Nebuchadnezzar did, when we look to heaven, when we celebrate and worship God, when we understand how things work spiritually in eternity, that God's power is absolute, what we do is we point other people to the transformation he's made in us. See, the greatest sign and wonder that Jesus does is transform your life on the inside. That's the greatest miracle in eternity. It's Jesus' death on the cross that now opens the way for our lives to be transformed on a day-to-day basis, for our lives to be transformed eternally. Remember what I said, I think we live in a community where there's more than a few people that could use a spiritual tour guide. And I know people, you know, well, I don't know that much about the Bible, and what if they ask me a question and I don't know the answer to that? Call Rick Dietzman. If you don't know, call Rick Dietzman. He'll tell you. You can call me, but I'll be in a meeting. Call Rick Dietzman. You are the authority of your own conversion to Jesus Christ. Nobody knows your story better than you do. And in this day and age, that's pay dirt. That's what makes a difference. You're hanging out with people that don't even believe the Word of God is true. I can quote all the scriptures in the world, and there's probably some people here today that are going, yeah, go right ahead. I don't think it's the Word of God. Who knows what the Word of God is? He's got a Word of God. She's got a Word of God. They're doing it this way. There's this over here. You don't have to take all of that on. But the part I want you to take on is to look around and see who could use some direction spiritually. Rick just held a class helping people to look at their life so that they know their story, so that they can share it with those around. Over 75 people signed up to be a part of that class. Why did everybody sign up for it? Because we'd like to know that our history is more than the palace that we've built. It's more than the little coffee clutch that we have. We'd like to think that we could have an eternal impact on other people, and we can. You can. And you don't have to go to seminary, and you don't have to know all the answers to all the apologetic questions that people might ask you. All you have to do is say, you know, this is the way my life was, and this is the way my life is now. Hey, I noticed your life's a little bit like my life. Here and here and here. And when I ask Jesus to be the leader of my life, all of a sudden now my life's going in this direction. Is it all perfect? No. Is it all easy? Ask Andrew Brunson. Solitary confinement for 2 years. They were putting him up for three consecutive life sentences. He would have never seen his wife or his children ever again. Is it easy? No. No. But even in the difficulty, even in the despair, the ringing statement of Andrew Brunson, I held on to the fact that God loves me. And man, when we hang on to the reality that God loves us, that changes everything. It'll even change you. Let's pray. Father, we once again come to you, and you know, here it is again. The Bible keeps talking about us, me. It's not as though we shouldn't have rest and renewal, but Lord, if we're a little too comfortable, a little too complacent, well, speak to us about that today. Yeah, there are times and seasons in our life. Yet you have a mission for us to be on, something eternal for us to be a part of in every season of life, every phase, every stage. And I ask, Lord, that you would speak to us about that today. Lord, where we're prideful, well, the world's pretty good at humbling us. But Lord, let us remember to thank you for all that you do. Thank others for what they've done to help us be where we are. We never get where we are alone. There's always your hand as a part of it. And Lord, you always bring some other people to help us make our way. And we thank you for that. We thank you for those in our life who have encouraged us. Lord, remind us that we should not put off doing good. That as you give us better eyes to see the poor amongst us, and that could be money, but it could also be a lack of inclusion and friendship. It might be a lack of morality. It might be a lack of an understanding of you. Help us to see with your eyes. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hands to make a difference. Lord, we keep us looking to heaven. Help us to understand and grab a hold of your greatness. For every time we do that, an act of worship comes out of us. When we remember your love, when things aren't all that loving. Lord, you save us sometimes by keeping us from something. Lord, you save us by getting us through something. Lord, you save us and teach us by certain things. Continue to teach us. Lord, help us to be the best spiritual tour guides we know how to be. And we may not be very good at it at all, but, you know, it's our story about you coming into our lives and loving us and freeing us up in a way that, well, we just couldn't do it before. Yeah, we haven't arrived, but boy, you've changed us. You've moved us along. You've given us a future and a hope. Lord, allow us to leave transformed today, at least a little bit. Help us go today more sensitive to your Holy Spirit's prompting in our life. Let us go today with eyes to see where we can make a positive difference, even if it's just something small. Jesus, we're thankful that you love us. And in our times of challenge, even our times of desperation, help us to hold on to that. We pray all these things, Lord, in your name. Amen. So don't leave it here. Don't leave it here today. If God has been speaking to you, we've got some folks that would love to talk to you following the service. Maybe you're in one of those places where, oh, you know, it's not about too much good. It's about not enough good. There are people there that would love to pray with you and counsel you. Remember God each and every day. Look heavenly. Look heavenly. And if you look heavenly, you will see God.